Hey friends, welcome to the St. Mark City podcast. We pray that you are blessed and challenged as you listen to this message. God bless you.
It's good to get into God's word. Lord, let me just pray. Father, thank you for your word. And just even as Emma led this morning and just the prayer she was praying there, praying it as well during worship. Lord, we need you. We really do need you in this world. We need your guidance. We need your wisdom. We need your word. And your word is a lamp unto our feet. And I pray that you would illuminate all of our lives today. Lord, you know where every single one of us is. You know the person who's walked in and their just head is low. You know the person who's walked in and they're flying high, Lord, and just full of the joys of the Lord. But every one of us needs your word today. So bless this word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, we are starting a brand new series called Top Up. It's a new summer series. And so this literally is a photograph of Pastor Sean this morning. He hasn't really done his back in. He's sunning himself. That's Greystones, by the way, the promised land. This is a photo that Pastor Sean's, one of Pastor Sean's children, sent in to our production team to use for our slides. And so today's message is top up on your rest. Sean was meant to be here preaching. And so this is, they took a sneaky photograph of Sean resting. God bless him. He looks like he's heading to the Undertakers. Pastor Sean hasn't passed away. He just has a bad back. But we're looking at top up over the next while. And over the summer months, we just want to top up on the things of God. We don't want to be empty. I mean, the world can drain, life can drain, situations can drain. Like even having a bad back can drain. We pray Pastor Sean is topped up on healing today, topped up on God's presence today, topped up on his Holy Spirit. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to look at how do we top up? Or it's not just about topping up your tan. Do you mean like summertime is like, let's top up on the tan. No, we want to top up on the things of God and things pertaining to God so that we can be filled with God and filled with his Spirit for the world that we're living in. And so this morning we're looking at top up on your rest. Rest is God's idea. Did you know that? Having a rest. This is one of the, actually, this sermon I'm preaching, I have to be honest, I'm preaching it to myself this morning. So I'm not just preaching it to you guys, I'm preaching it to myself. One of my biggest obstacles in regards to rest is I know I am a workaholic. I come from a family of workaholics, and a lot of the time we find our identity in how productive we are, how busy we are, look how busy I am, look at all that I'm doing, look at all the things I'm doing, look at all the stuff I'm doing, and that's how sometimes people find, and that's how my family find their identity, look how busy I am, look at all the money I'm earning, look at all the work I'm doing, look at all the house I have, look at all the stuff, because I'm productive and I'm stuff, and so rest is something that I've always struggled with, but yeah, I've come to realize that it's not just a good idea. It's God's idea. And you see, when it's God's idea, then it's really important that we listen to what God has to say about rest. Right in the very first book of the Bible, it speaks about rest. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. And then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And it's interesting that on the sixth day, God created Adam and Eve. God created humanity. And so the very first day after our creation was a day of rest. The very first day that we existed on this planet, humanity, God had said, this is the day of rest. And so it's so important that we understand actually that what we do in life is not towards rest, it's actually from rest. And that can only be found in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So rest is so important. Rest is when our bodies repair. It's when we grow. It's when our brains become smarter. Maybe that's why I'm not smart, because I need to learn to rest more. It's when we become more creative. It's when our minds replenish and gain emotional control. So biblical rest is not just trivial escapism, and it's not an excuse for laziness. Now, rest is purposeful. Rest is full of purpose. It's full of the purpose of God. Good rest leads to fulfilled purpose. And it comes after a completed purpose, as we see the Lord creating everything, and it prepares us for future purpose. So if we don't understand or we don't get this idea of rest, what can happen is we'll hit burnout and we'll end up, our bodies will end up collapsing and we'll be forced to rest. So I wanted to try and get in our heads, this is a good thing. This is a God idea that we would take time to look after ourselves and to rest. Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, a physician and the author of a book called Sacred Rest, Recover Your Life, Renew Your Energy, and Restore Your Sanity. Who needs to restore their sanity this morning? Yeah, there's three of you is honest. Restore your sanity. She says this, rest is what the fearless do when they trust the one who goes before them. Rest is part of refitting your armor for the victory ahead. So we're going to look at rest this morning. As I said, rest is not laziness. People are afraid to talk of rest. That talk of rest will cause people to do nothing for Jesus, but it's actually the opposite. True rest is doing everything from Jesus. And so it's not about doing nothing and just being lazy. It's actually knowing how to rest in Christ. You see, the Bible says he is our rest. He gives us rest because Jesus is our Sabbath. He is both the giver of rest and the gift of rest. So what we're going to do this morning is we're going to take the word rest and we're literally going to make it into an acrostic. And so every letter is going to be a point. So you're blessed this morning. You're not getting a 3-point sermon. You're going to get 4 points, an extra point in the message this morning. The first word that we're going to look at, or the first letter, sorry, or, it stands for remember. Remembering is a key to good rest. At the center of this Christian walk is communion with God. And communion in church is all about remembering. Jesus said this, do this in remembrance of me. You'll see scriptures dotted throughout the Bible saying, remember the Lord your God who rescued you. Remember the Lord your God who provided for you. Remember. So in order for us to remember, in order for us to have rest, we have to remember that Jesus is at the heart of our rest and is our rest. He is the Sabbath. And when you rest, God wants to renew you. He wants to recharge you and he wants to refresh you. So we're going to look at these in a moment. God wants to renew you. So rest is not just about having a little rest. Have you ever had a rest and you've come away because you thought you'd been resting, but you haven't been resting? You might've been on the phone and you come away going, I'm actually not rested. Well, here's what God wants us to understand about rest. That in him, it's a place to be renewed. It's a place to be recharged. It's a place to be replenished, to be refreshed. And how do we do this? Well, we have to remember the Lord our God. We have to remember the one who paid the price, who made the sacrifice for us to enter his rest. It's not only good to remember, it's essential. And so what do we need to do? We need to remember where to go. Where do you go to get renewed, to get recharged, or to get refreshed? Emma mentioned about going on holiday. I had the privilege of going on holiday as well earlier on this year. Do we go to Italy? Do we go to Spain? You're like, yes, Des, thank you so much. That sounds great. Myself and my wife, Judith, we're picking up an American team for our fun week in St. Mark's South at the airport. And most of the time, I love going to the airport because I know I'm going to get on a plane. I hate going to the airport to pick up people because I'm so jealous of everyone else getting on the plane. And I'm like, Judith, would it matter if we just left and just jumped on a plane and just went? And sometimes like we go and we get replenished, or we feel in Spain, do we go to the cinema? Do you mean to go to see the latest Jurassic World or the latest Mission Impossible? Do we go to nature and lovely walk? And yes, we can get rest here. Do we go visit family or friends? But see, Jesus says this, if you're looking for somewhere to go for real rest and to get fully refreshed, Jesus says, why not come to me? Matthew 11, 28, this is the words of Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. Why do we need rest? It's because sometimes we're weary and we're burdened with the things of this world. Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, if you want to find rest for your souls, come to Jesus. It is as simple and it is as deep as that. If you want to find rest for your souls, come to Jesus. If you want to be refreshed, remember to go to the fresh water of life, Jesus, the fresh bread of life. The fresh water that Jesus gives is better than any of the drinking wells this world has to offer. Actually, the drinking wells that this world offers are actually cisterns filled with filthy water that promise you so much, but actually never quench the thirst. We sung it earlier, give me Jesus. You can have all of this world. As we were singing that, something just struck in my heart and I just lifted my hands because I wasn't just singing the words, I was singing it from my soul. Do you ever get to that point in worship where you're just going, this is something that I know to be true. You can have everything of this world. I've tasted and I've seen what this world has to offer and it is empty. If you haven't tasted and seen and you're like, Pastor, I don't believe you, Des, whatever, then go and taste it. But I promise you, it's empty. I promise you, it will promise you so much and deliver so little. Jesus is the water of life. When you taste of him, you will never thirst again. You will never be hungry again when you eat the bread of life. And so to be refreshed, we have to remember to go to the one who refreshes us. To be renewed, we have to remember to go to the renewer. The Bible says he's the one who makes all things new. So if you want to be renewed in your spirit, well, go to the one who renews all things. His name is Jesus. If you want to be recharged, remember to connect to the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Do you mean just every morning we make sure before we leave the house, is the phone charged? Is the battery on 100%? If it's on 50%, I need to bring the charger with me because I need to have my phone, don't we? But are we charged? Are we charged or recharged for the day ahead? Are we recharged for the week ahead? Are we recharged for the tasks that are before us in any given day? Well, we need to remember to go to the one who is the power of God. The Bible uses the word dunamis, which means the power of God, the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life in our own power. I've said this before. You cannot live for God without God. It's impossible to live for God, if you're trying to live for God without the Spirit of God in you, you are just a very religious person and you're trying to do good works to outweigh the bad works. And you will be frustrated and you will end up restless. But when you live for God with the presence of God in your life, you live from a place of rest because it's the dunamis, the power of God. This is where the word dynamite comes from, or dynamic. The dynamic power of God will fill us. Here are some scriptures that talk of this. Acts 1:8, it says this, saying to the early church, the early followers of Jesus, but you will receive power, you will receive dunamis, you will receive dynamic power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Ephesians 3:20, 21. Now to him, Jesus, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his dunamis, his power, that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. 2 Timothy, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us dunamis, gives us power. The Spirit of God gives us power. It recharges our lives and love and self-discipline. And Hebrews says this, the Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his dunamis, his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of heaven. 2 Peter, his divine power, his dunamis power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. What do you need in order to live for God? It's his power, and his power is found in his Holy Spirit. We need to remember how to be renewed and refreshed. How are we renewed and refreshed? Well, we remember what Christ has done. We remember that on the cross, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." So I don't need to strive for salvation. I don't need to work for salvation. You don't need to earn your way for God's love or God's acceptance. Jesus, The Bible says that in Christ, God was redeeming the world, restoring the world to himself. So we remember what Jesus has done on the cross and we're able to operate. We're able to be renewed and refreshed from that. We remember, it's so important that you remember who you are. You are a son of God or you are a daughter of God. The enemy tries to remind us of all the bad things, doesn't he? Is that just me? Sometimes he reminds me of all of the stuff I've done, all of the people I've hurt, all of the places I've been where I shouldn't have been, all of the mistakes I've made. But I need to remember Jesus. I need to remember God. I need to remember who I am. I am a child of God, not in my own power, but in the dunamis power, in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So remember who you are and whose you are. You were paid for. Bought with a precious price, the blood of Jesus. You belong to God. The Bible says you belong to him. The world will say, no, you don't. The enemy will say, no, you don't. But you need to remind yourself of who you are and whose you are. You need to remember that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're unique. You're chosen of God. That there's no one else like you. And again, the enemy would have you whisper in your head, thank God there's no one else like you. You're a mess, you're a wreck, these are the things that used to go around my head when I was younger. You're no good, you're trouble, and you'll always be trouble. And guess what? Do you know when I played those in my head? Guess what I acted out? I ended up being no good, and I ended up being trouble, and I ended up getting into trouble, and I ended up doing stupid things. But when I remind myself, Des, you're a child of God. Des, Jesus died on the cross for you because he loves you so much. He stretched out his arms. At any moment, he could have said no. It wasn't the soldiers that held him there. It was his love for us that held him there. And when I remember that, do you know when you remind yourself that you're a child of God, you begin to walk like a child of God. You begin to think like a child of God. You begin to act like a child of God. You begin to live like a child of God. And you're not struggling with all this other stuff anymore because you're reminding yourself of the things of God. Remember that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Remember the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God in your life that is at work in you and through you. Remember the power of God's word. Get into the word of God. Don't just be consuming the bad news on BBC or Sky. Consume the word of God. Get in and feed on this. Read it, study it. There's so much at our disposal online regarding concordances and Bible studies. And so I remember when I first got saved, 1997, before the internet, there was no internet. There probably was a little bit of internet in some departments, but there was nothing. And in order for me to study, and I couldn't read or write, I promise you, I couldn't read or write, I had to go to a library in a Bible college. And I spent hours looking through concordances and looking through different things and saying, what does salvation mean? What does grace mean? What is this thing? We have everything at the tip of our fingers now. We can just Google a word, Google a scripture. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's so much great resources to get into the word of God, to help us in the word of God. Remember the power of God's word. Remember the power of prayer. Remember the power of fellowship. And I know I'm speaking to the choir here because you're all here together, but the Bible says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit. Do you mean sometimes the enemy gets into our head and he tries to rob us of fellowship? Oh, don't go to church. You're not good enough. Don't go to church because you failed. Don't go to church because they don't like you. Don't go to church, blah, 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 blah. Whatever it is, ignore those voices. We need to remember the power of fellowship. To be with each other, to pray with each other, to encourage one another, to spur one another on. This is what the New Testament tells the early church, to spend time together praying for each other, blessing each other, encouraging each other, uplifting each other. Remember, we need to remember, because when we remember God and we remember who we are in God, then we're able to rest a bit better. The second letter in this, and I'm so aware of time, my goodness, I'm so aware of time, is E. And this could easily be exalt or extol the Lord. And it's so important that we focus on Jesus and we praise and we worship him by exalting. But by exalting him, do you know what we do? We expel. We expel bad thoughts, expel rotten thinking, expel lies from the enemy, expel bad attitude, expel distractions. Do you ever, you're going for a rest and the distractions just come to rob you of your rest? Expel whatever needs to go so you can truly rest in the Lord. Lord, help us. Help me to see what needs to go so I can truly enter real rest. I mentioned this earlier on. The thing about scrolling through social media is that often looks that it should be the most restful activity. We're not even doing anything. We're barely moving. And we may be even lying down and we're just scrolling through. But have you ever got off of Twitter or TikTok or Instagram or whatever it is, your social, and you don't feel rested? I mean, have you ever got off spending hours just scrolling and you actually don't feel rested? So maybe to enter into rest, you need to expel the phone for a moment. Maybe you need to expel people who drain you. Maybe there's people in your world and they're just a drain. And maybe for a time to enter into rest, you need to expel those people. Maybe you need to expel any connection to work. This is what I need to do. Whenever I'm going on holidays, I have to delete apps off my phone. I have to block WhatsApp because I'm in so many church WhatsApp groups. I have to turn off Instagram and Facebook and all of the stuff. Because if I don't, I end up going onto stuff and I end up seeing stuff and then I end up, my mind end up going and I'm not entering into rest. And so there's stuff that we may need to expel. What do you need to expel or banish from your life so that you can enter true rest? Is it unforgiveness? That will rob you of rest. Is it bitterness? Is it anger? Is it jealousy? Is it bad thoughts from your mind? Bad habits from your lifestyle, bad words from your mouth, bad looking from your eyes. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive. This is a key to entering into rest. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Sometimes there's a battle and a fight before we can truly enter rest. But the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. And Paul doesn't list the weapons explicitly here. But if we look at Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, we see that he talks about the armor of God. And these are the weapons we fight with the belt of truth, with the breastplate of righteousness, with the gospel or the footwear fitted with the gospel of peace, with the shield of faith, with the helmet of salvation, with the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God. These weapons are not physical, they're spiritual, but they're divinely empowered. Do you know what they're divinely empowered for? They're divinely empowered to pull down strongholds. What are strongholds in our lives? Do you mean we don't live in a world when they were writing this, the strongholds were these like big castles. But the strongholds here that they're speaking of, they're fortified lies and hardened mindsets. Sometimes there's fortified lies in our head that the enemy has spoken over us or people have spoken over us and they become mindsets. And the Bible is the thing that was able to dispel them, is able to tear down these strongholds. They demolish arguments, which is false reasoning, cultural idols, proud philosophies. They demolish every pretension and falsehood that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And they help us to take captive every thought that is disobedient to Jesus and against Jesus. In other words, bringing our minds back under the rule of Christ. So that to truly enter rest this summer, we have to expel the things that will rob us of rest. What are the things? Everyone has different things. What are some of the things that rob you of rest? They're the things that you need to expel. They're the things you need to take control. And you can't take control. Again, the enemy will have you say, believe you can't. No, the word of God says you're a child of God, a daughter of God, a son of God. You have the power of God through the Holy Spirit. So you can take control. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is self-control. It's love, joy, peace, patience, and all those good things. But it is actually self-control. In order for us to enter rest, we have to take control of all of these negative thoughts and bring them into Jesus, expel them from our lives. The S, so we have remember God, remember who we are and whose we are. We have to expel all of the negative stuff in order for us to really enter rest. And the S stands for surrender. Summertime, there's so much temptation at summertime. There's so much temptation because the days are longer, the nights are longer. There's so much temptation to surrender to the wrong things. There's so much temptation to surrender to the excesses of alcohol, to surrender to the nightlife. Actually, you deserve it. Let your hair down.
I don't have hair.
It's only a bit of fun. It's just a bit of fun. Honestly, as a pastor, the amount of times I've sat with someone who have found themselves back in addiction, who have found themselves consumed with shame and consumed with guilt and fear, and it started off with, I just wanted to have a bit of fun, Des. And I ended up here. It's only a bit of fun. So you can take that with. It's only one line of coke. It's only a bit of E. It's only this. It's only that. It's never. Do you mean, the enemy promises fun. But you know what he gives you? He gives you a cage. He promises you fun, but he gives you a cage. Don't listen to him. It's never fun. It's never fun. It may start off with a laugh and a joke and whatever, but it's never fun. And sometimes in summertime, the temptations to surrender to the wrong things are so there. Sometimes we surrender to the different spirits. There's so much talk about spirituality these days. Spirituality, can I just say, spirituality is not necessarily Christianity, though Christianity has so much to say on the topic of spirituality. But sometimes we see people look to fortune tellers or palm readers to find rest or to find, like, I just, and it's like, and again, when I talk to people about this, it's like, oh, it's just a bit of fun. And again, please, there's no condemnation coming from me this morning. I am the last person that can throw stones in this place. I promise you, if you knew my story and you knew the things I've done and where I've been, I cannot throw stones. But I do want to bring a warning around this whole area of spirituality. Why not be filled with the Holy Spirit? Why not go after the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of Jesus? I remember my wife came home from work one day and she told a story. This palm reader came into where she worked and all the girls were like fascinated and going like, and Judah like just was on fire for Jesus. She loved Jesus. She's like, girls, please don't let her read your palm. Please don't go there. And there was something stirred in Judith's heart that she was just really, the girls were fascinated going, Judith, you're freaking me out. Like, will you calm down? It's just a bit of fun. Just relax. Judith was so freaked out that she went into the storeroom. She rang her pastor. She wasn't 10 St. Mark's time. She rang her pastor. She's on the phone to her pastor. Will you please pray for my staff? Please pray for my work colleagues. So the girls are like, what's going on here with the palm reader? And then they're looking into the door going like, Judith's talking to Jesus because she's on the phone going, yes, Lord. Amen. Yes, Jesus. Because she's praying with her pastor. So one of the girls going like, she's talking to Jesus, but this girl's reading palms. What's happening? She's freaked out. She's going, so afterwards, Judith came out and said, like, she said, please. The girl's like, oh, it's just a bit of fun. And so Judith came out and said, like, is everyone okay? So she said, Judith, you're not going to believe it. The manager was like, she wants to read my palm and stuff. But she says, I have to bring you out. You have to come outside this room. And she says, well, I'm working. I can't leave. Do you know what I mean? I can't. She says, why? And she's like, all I can see is a white cross on your hand. You need to come out. There's something here that I can't read your palm. And Judith's in the back praying in the spirit and praying, Jesus, protect these girls. The sad part of that story is that girl went around. And again, there's nothing against that girl. She's lost in this idea of palm reading. She went around and she was reading everyone's palms in the place. One of the female security guards had her palm read. That night she went home and took her life. We don't know what she was said, what was told, what was spoken over her. But that day was her last day in work. Guys, it's never a bit of fun. If you're chasing after a spirit, chase after the Holy Spirit of God. He's the only one. You need to surrender to him. Surrender your life to him. And finally, guys, the last one is T for trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit or surrender to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, he whose mind is stayed fixed on you because he trusts in you. If you want peace, and we need peace in our world, don't we? Not only do we need peace in our world, we need peace in our world, in our world, in our hearts and in our minds. If you want peace in your world, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. And you will. He's promised that when you trust in him, he will fill you with his peace. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus said, I leave you, I give you my peace. And the peace I give you is not the peace of this world. And so he fills us with peace as we trust in him. True biblical rest, then, is not this passive relaxation, but actually it's an active trust. If you think about a child going to sleep, and we saw baby Rui here in her dad's arms, and the complete trust that she has. And when a baby's going to sleep, the trust that they have as they're going to sleep, the complete and utter trust. Isn't that a wonder that God says, the Bible says, that we should become like children? We should become, and I believe this is, it's not being childish, it's being childlike. And there's a massive difference. There's too many adults, and I'm just being honest, you're childish and you need to grow up. Again, I say that in all love, but it's time to grow up. It's time to put on your big boy and big boy pants and big boy whatever. You need to grow up. It's not about being childish. We cannot be childish in our faith, but we need to be childlike, which is having a trust in our Father. And when we have our trust in our Father, then we can rest. The world can be rocked. Our lives, everything can be going pear-shaped. Honestly, guys, if I told you the things that has gone wrong this week as we're heading towards Fun Week, everything and anything has sort of just gone wrong. But I was saying to Emma, we were saying, and it's the same, Emma can say the same, but we're both looking at each other this morning going, well, do you know what? God is in control and he has a plan and we're just going to rely on him because we trust not in our own strength, not in our own understanding. We trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and all of our mind. We're going to ask the worship team to come back. Jeremiah, let me finish with this passage of scripture. Jeremiah 17, verse 5 to 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That person will be like a bush in the wastelands. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Verse 7. But, you know, I think all of us have a testimony that begins with, but. I was addicted, but God. I was broken, but God. I was lost, but God. I was sick in my mind, but God. Verse 7. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends its roots out by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries, even in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Guys, this summer, are we topping up on our rest, real rest? Not just the worldly rest, but real rest. Do you know when you go on holidays and sometimes you come back from your holidays and you say like, I need a holiday from my holiday? Is that just me? Because I get that. Sometimes you go and you want to see all the sights and you want to pack in as much as you can. But you know what? Sometimes I feel, and this is maybe just for me, but maybe it's for you as well. Maybe it's when I'm on holiday, I forget to invite Jesus. And he's faithful and he's there. But I forget to pay attention to him. I forget to rest in him, even on holiday, because I'm so consumed by the sights. And it's all, there's nothing bad about that. But just remember Jesus. Trust in the Lord and you will be blessed. Remember to expel everything that needs to be expelled from your life in order to truly enter some rest. For most of us, I believe it's the little device we call a phone. Even for an hour a day, just put it away and rest in the presence of God. If you're going on holidays, put it away and rest. Whatever it is, it could be other stuff, deeper stuff in your life to expel. Surrender to Jesus. Don't surrender to the temptations this summer. Don't surrender to the fleeting temptations that offer so much, but actually will create a cage for your life. Surrender to Him and trust in Him. Let's stand. Matthew 11. Here's the invitation as we finish in worship. And maybe this is you this morning, and just even during this worship time, this is God's call to you this morning. This is the words of Jesus. And maybe just even between you and Jesus, this is not about you. This is not about your husband, your wife, your mama, your dad, your son or your daughter, or whoever's with you. This is for you. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you need rest this morning, as the guys lead us in this worship song, I just want to encourage you in your own prayer life, in your own words, in your own thoughts, just come to Jesus. And then Emma's going to come and close out the service after this song. Amen.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. If you would like to connect further with St. Mark's City, go to stmarks.ie. Have an incredible day. God bless you.